share our lives with one another. And so we're thankful for God's provisions, for God's goodness to us. And so let's start with a word of prayer. And we'll thank God for this time together and ask for his blessing and wisdom. Father in heaven, we do come before you, and we are so thankful, Lord, for the beautiful day you've given us today. Lord, the sun is shining, the warmth of the breeze, and Lord, to come together with my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord, it can't get much better than that, and unless, Lord, we fix our eyes on what you have for us in the future. Is that someday, Lord, is that we will see you in all of your beauty and all of your goodness, the promises that you made, the hope that you give us. Lord, you are an awesome God. And Lord, we thank you that we have a book like Daniel that we could learn more of your awesomeness, of the very fact of you are the eternal God, the only true God, the God who knows all things, the God who moves in the hearts of your people. And you put kings in places and you take them down. And Lord, you are the sovereign God of all the kingdoms. And we thank you, Lord, that we could come together as your church this morning. I thank you for each of my brothers and sisters here. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them today, encourage them in the faith as we come and open up your word. Father, I ask for your help, Lord, as I bring this lesson this morning. I pray for each Sunday school teacher here, Lord, that the hours that we have spent in meditation and prayer, Lord, that you would give us great freedom and liberty, Lord, to proclaim the message that you've laid on each one of our hearts. And more than anything else, Lord, that we as your people would be receptive to hear from you today. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is here with us, the Spirit of truth. And Lord, we call upon him to help us, Lord, to give us understanding, to give us instruction, conviction, encouragement, comfort. Lord, these are things that only you can do. And so we call upon you to help us today. But be with us in the next hour, Lord. We thank you that we could come here in this room, gather together, joining our hearts in worship and praise to you, our God. You are worthy. And Lord, we want you to be honored today in this place. We want Christ to be exalted in his rightful place. We know where he is. He's at the right hand of you, and he's in all power and glory. And someday he's coming back again to receive all of us to himself and establish his rightful reign here on this earth. So, Lord, we pray that you would be with our pastor this morning. Lord, we pray for him constantly, and we pray, Lord, that you would keep him humble and with a contrite spirit, and, Lord, that he would be open to the Spirit's call, and Lord, that you would give him enablement today to preach the word with all boldness. And Lord, because it's a message that we need to hear today. So we pray for that. And pray for each one who will participate, Lord, for their labor of love, playing the instruments and singing praises to you. We just give you all that praise and honor. So bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, good morning. What a wonderful time to come together. As we study this book of Daniel, turn again with me to Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to pick up where we left off at. And I'd like to read to start off with is verses 12 and 13. There are some outlines in the back. If you didn't get one, please pick one up. But let's read verse 12. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious. And he commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Here we see the rage of this king. You know, has no concern for anybody's life but his own. He wants his way. He wants to know that I've been troubled. I can't sleep at night. I've been having his dream, and it's for a purpose, and I'm concerned about my kingdom. I'm concerned about what's going to happen. And I call all these wise men, these guys that are supposed to help me out and give me the answers that I want. And I bring them in my courts. I give them an opportunity to do what they say they could do. Well, I have a suspicion that these men, I can't trust them. Whether I know the dream or not, I'm not going to tell it to them. I want them to tell me. I want to see if these are really wise men and astrologers are going to help me out. And they keep pleading with me. They want time. Well, I'm tired. I don't want any more time. I'm tired. I haven't had no sleep. I want my answers now. And if you can't give it to me, I want all of you to be executed. And I'm giving that command right now. Go on out, call my executioner. I want you to take all these wise men. I'm tired. I'm done with them. Have them executed. Can you sense the rage in this king? You know, it's interesting that the evil one himself is willing to have all of his wise men sacrificed and killed off. Why? Because he has an opportunity to take God's men. See, it's already been demonstrated that Daniel and his three friends are God's men. And so Satan's willing to go ahead and just say, go ahead, have them all killed. He puts that in the king's mind, just in this rage. And Satan's like that. See, he'll do anything to destroy or attempt to destroy your witness. And he'll do this in order to come against these men, Daniel and his three friends, to kill them. He's willing to sacrifice all of his false prophets in the city of Babylon. But I want you to know something. But there is a God in heaven, amen, who's in charge. And he's in control. And he could even take a very terrible situation and turn it around for his honor and for his glory. And we're going to see that. So let's look at verses 14 to 16. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain. By the way, that word captain there is the same word used in the original language as executioner. So he calls his executioner in, and then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the executioner, the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made known the matter to Daniel. Isn't that interesting? As executioner, you know what the king is thinking about. You know he just gave a command. You go out and do it now. He's in a fit of rage. Now, why is it that he just doesn't go right into Daniel's three friends and just wipe them out? He had the authority to do that. But we see here that he then takes time, puts his own head on the line, takes time to explain the matter to Daniel and his three friends. Now remember, Daniel's three friends were not there in the original call-in, you know, because he called in his, you know, his well-known, his guys that had been around him a long time, his wizards and his and the people of knowledge, no matter whether it's in the occult or whatever, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. But I want you to know that God is in control. And even with this man, Arioch, Daniel comes to him with wisdom and tact. And we see then that same thing happened in chapter 1, wasn't it? with the one who was in charge of teaching these and brainwashing them, and the one who had charge of providing their food and everything else. And we learned from that chapter is that God gave compassion in that man's heart to help Daniel and his three men and listen to them. By the way, it's a lesson for us. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 4. And so what I'm saying to you in this particular verse right here is that we're going to look at it, is that how do we handle ourselves? Remember, we talked about this before. How do you respond in the times of adversity or in the times of prosperity? Well, here this is a very time of adversity. These Daniel and his men, our lives are at stake. And we see wisdom from God, and I believe that this is the way that Daniel handled himself. Look at chapter 4 of Colossians, verse 5. He says, conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So here we see the wisdom behind Daniel that he understands is that he knows, as I said, what this points out more than anything else is that this Daniel was a man of the Word of God. He was constantly in the Word. And he knew that they were brought out of Israel into captivity for a purpose. And so he was trusting his God. And so this is a key point for us, is that they learned that they needed to trust God and to be gracious and use words during their training. I mean, this is what even the one that Daniel and his friends were known for this. They were trustworthy men. After all, they were brought before the king, weren't they? And he said, they're 10 times better than my best. And it's interesting that Arioch allows Daniel time to speak to Nebuchadnezzar. In a sense, the king might have been surprised. Wait a minute, I gave you order to go out and kill everybody, and now here comes these Daniel. Now, wait a minute, Daniel? Yeah, Daniel. He's one of my top dogs. I mean, after all, I've raised him up. And maybe by this time his rage is starting to settle a little bit, you know? You know how it is when people really get angry? I mean, they say things, they jump off the handle, and they do things they wish they hadn't said or hadn't done. I mean, I've been there. Have you? Have you ever done something in your life where, man, it happened and you just feel bad about it, you know? But, you know, all of a sudden that rage has settled down somewhat. And now here comes Daniel. See, God put compassion in Arioch's heart. He listened to Daniel because Daniel was somebody that he'd learned was trustworthy in the king's court. And now he appears before the king, and the king might have, by that time, he's settling down a little bit. He still wants his answers. He's still tired. He hasn't had no sleep. But now he sees Daniel. Daniel, yeah. You know, he wasn't here. Why should I kill my best that I've declared in chapter 1? Why should I kill my best because the incompetence of these wizards over here and these wise men? So maybe he's starting to come back down and has a little. Or you think that maybe God, as soon as Daniel walked into that king's court and he saw Daniel, and you think maybe then God changed his heart. Slowed him down. See, what's the difference here is that these wise men asked for time, and now we see Daniel. Look at this. In Daniel 16, went in and requested the king to appoint him a time. Isn't that amazing? His wise men wanted time. They begged the king for more time. So there's no doubt that Nebuchadnezzar must have recalled that the four Hebrews had been his exceptional students, and why put their lives now in danger because of the incompetence of the others. By faith, Daniel promised to show the king his dream and the interpretation, for he knew that the Lord would answer him. Wow. Sometimes people would ask, that's pretty bold, isn't it? They tell the king, just give me a little time, and I will give you the answer to your dream and interpretation. Now, it reminds me of a story of another time in the Jewish history where, do you remember the story of Queen Esther? Do you remember that, where Haman had put it in his heart that he hated the Jews and wanted to, and he'd come up with this plan to get rid of them? And a decree went out again by the king that all the Jews and all of his providences and all his kingdom were to be destroyed on a certain day. And here he didn't even know it. Right there, his own queen was a Jewish girl. Isn't God amazing? I think of that too when Moses and Pharaoh's, you know, the order to go out and kill all the Jewish babies because we're going to get rid of these Jews. And I'm telling you, behind that was Satan. Because Satan knew all the way back from the garden that the seed of a woman would someday crush his head. And through the whole history of the Jewish people, and we've even seen it in the modern day, the Hitlers of the world having such hatred towards the Jews. Moses, little baby raised up right in the king's household. Isn't that amazing? God is, I'm going to say, he's cool, isn't he? And I don't mean any disrespect. What I'm saying is that we have a great God, and he's in control. But maybe Daniel knew something. Is that when he came to this adversity where God had put him, besides it was God who put him in where? In Babylon. It was God fulfilling his promise to the Jewish nation. I'm warning you, warning you, warning you, warning you. Stop sinning, stop chasing after idols. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the God of the universe, the true God. You know the truth, and yet you refuse, and you keep going back into your sin. Well, finally, judgment has come. So maybe Daniel knew something. What did he know? Well, he knew that this was the God who was in charge of everything. Nothing happens without his okay. Maybe he thought just like Esther did, maybe for such a time as this. You see, you may find yourself in a circumstance and you may wonder, God, why do you got me here? I thought you loved me. I thought you had the best for me. And here I find myself in a situation that I have no control over. Well, I want to turn you over to a passage of scripture. Because remember, I want you to remember this. And it's so important for us. Daniel was a man who was committed to God, and he understood God's will, and he constantly was in God's word. Because we see him over and over again quoting or referencing in some of his prayers. I want to show you this. You remember David? King David, the great King David. Do you remember he wanted at one time, he was building himself a house and it came to him and he looks out and he sees God's got this tent and I'm building this house and look where God resides. And he had in his heart, he wanted to build a temple, a house for God to reside in. You remember that? And God says, oh, no, David, you know, I understand your heart and you have good intentions, but if I'm going to have a house to dwell in, it's going to be from your son, not from you, because you got a lot of blood on your hands, David. You've been a king that's been a warrior king. You purged out the land and everything else. But I want to show you something. Remember then his son Solomon went ahead and took all of the materials and he went ahead and built the temple. And I want you to see something that he says here right before or right during the dedication. It's interesting because I want you to think about the situation that Daniel and his friends are in. Because I believe that Daniel knew this portion of Scripture. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Because we would say, well, boy, David, I mean, Daniel, I mean, that's pretty bold of you saying that I will give you the interpretation, the dream and its interpretation. Verse 46, if they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. I find that interesting. For all have sinned and come short of God's glory. And you are angry with them and give them to an enemy so that they are carried away captive. Sounds familiar. To the land of their enemy, far off or near. Yet if they turn their heart in the land to which they have been carried captive and repent and plead with you in the land of their captors, saying, we have sinned and have acted perversely and wickedly. I want you to know when we get to chapter 9 in Daniel, you'll see Daniel, he prays this particular prayer. If they repent with all their mind and with all their heart, and I'm going to tell you, Daniel was a man who sought God with his whole heart. He determined he was not going to defile himself with the king's food or his strong drink. In the land of their enemies who carried them captive and prayed to you towards the land which you gave to their fathers, the city that you have chosen. And the house that I have built for your names. This is Solomon speaking. Then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayers and their plea, and maintain their cause. He's praying this, that when they are taken into captive, and they seek you, and they pray to you, and they pray towards this temple, forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions they committed against you, and grant them compassion in the sight of those who carried them captive. Well, we've seen a lot of that, haven't we, so far? Daniel being granted compassion from those that he's held captive by. For they are your people and your heritage, which you brought out of Egypt from the midst of the iron furnace. Let your eyes be open to the plea of your servant and to the plea of your people Israel, giving them ear to them whenever they call to you. You think this is one way that Daniel really has his boldness to go into this king during this terrible time of adversity? His life is on the line. I say, any minute. I mean, he walked into that king's court. The king could have said, what are you doing here? You shouldn't even be here. You're gone. Oh. I believe that a prayer like this of Solomon, something that Daniel knew. And he knew in his own heart that as he has already been experiencing now through those 3 years of being brainwashed in the ways of the Babylonians, that God was protecting him even then, and God was with him. And now here's another, remember we said, how do you respond through the time of adversity and the time of prosperity? Well, here's this time, adversity, your life's on the line. You can't get any more adversity than that, can you? But yet we see him. He's not riled. He's not protesting. But for maybe such a time as this, there's a reason, God, you got me here. And I believe that because we already know that from the earlier passage here in Daniel, is that God had made it known to him that he had given him wisdom in interpreting dreams and visions, did he not? He says it right here. He knew this. I'm not sure exactly how he knew it, but in his heart and his mind. And now all of a sudden he goes through that training and God made known to him he has this gifting from God, and now here's this great opportunity. That's where he gets his boldness from. Brothers and sisters, that's where we get our boldness from. We stay in the scriptures and we understand our purpose in life. We understand that we're here for a reason, and God has you here for a reason. And he's got purpose for you. He wants to glorify himself in your life and my life. And when we know that and we experience that and we're living our life for God and we're in communion with him and in his word, is that we then can have great boldness to live this life of faith. See, that's how faith grows, step by step. Moment by moment, adversity, prosperity, doesn't matter what it is. As I'm walking with my Lord and I've experienced him in my life and I've seen prayers answered after prayers answered, it gives me more boldness to be for his glory, to speak out for him, to do the things that he wants me to do that I don't have the capability of doing. Of myself, I'm an unrighteous man, I'm weak and everything else. But with God, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's who you are. That's the capability we have. We're not weaklings. We are, in a sense, are in our own strength. But I'm telling you, you have the God of the universe walking side by side with you. What are you fearing in life? What are you frustrated about? What are you doubting for? Don't give in to the schemes of the evil one. He was even going to bring it up that he's going to have everybody wiped out just so he could get at you. But I want you to know that you have a God that loves you and has purpose for you in your life. See, these Hebrew men knew that God did not dwell in some little temple in Jerusalem. Look at this verse right here. Go back to Daniel. Look at this verse right here, verse 18. And told them that, wait a minute, 17. Then Daniel went to his house. This is important. I'm sorry, I almost missed it. Then Daniel went, verse 17, Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Whoa. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do. Have you ever been to a situation where you went ahead and you had a problem in your life, some adversity came about, and man, you just got, oh, man, I got to do something now. And what do? You rush right in and you think you're going to do this or do that, and you go ahead without taking time to think about it, without getting proper counsel. You just kind of said, I've got to respond now, and off I go. And then the next thing you know, man, I'm wondering, boy, what a stupid mistake did I make? You ever done that? I've done that. See, that's the tendency we have when we try to do things, when we react to adversity and we don't go the proper steps. And that's why it's so important for us to learn these things of David, Daniel's life. What did he do then? Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them, seek mercy. That word seek means you have to have an action to go and seek. That means to do something. And what does he say? Seek mercy from the God of heaven, the only one true one that is in charge of everything. He brought you in a circumstance. He's got a purpose for it, and he's going to take you out of it. But see, be still and know that I am God. When you're in a time of adversity, just don't rush into and think, I've got, you know, I'm going to work this thing out, man, and I'm going to make this decision. Worst thing we could do is just react. Take time to be still and know who your God is. Take time to seek out other good counsel. Go to your trusted companion in this walk of faith. Go to somebody you could trust that you know their heart is set on doing God's will. Go to your pastor, your elders. Go to the one that you're come. But go and seek out counsel. And when you do that, pray. Because that's what these brothers did. Look at this. And he told them, verse 18, to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. See, that's a very good thing that we could do, is go to this God of mercy. So we're going to look a little bit at Daniel's strategy right here, okay? Now remember this, guy is still a young man. You know, he's probably somewhere around 20 years old by this time, maybe a little younger. But I'm telling you, what a man and a woman are got their hearts focused on God and a commitment to God is that we find the wisdom that doesn't come from us, but it's a wisdom that comes from above. First of all, he asked for time. As I said, it's always a good idea not to rush in to try to come up with a solution of life's challenges. He took time. Took time to pray. And then we see that he was bold enough to say that he would fulfill the king's demand, and we've already talked about that. I believe that because of his own walk of faith, what he knew in his heart of the word of God and trusting God that had brought him to this particular time in his life is that God wanted to do something great. As I mentioned, Daniel 1:17, it said Daniel had understanding and all wisdom and dreams. How important it is for us to seek out counsel and go to the Lord in prayer. Because, I mean, when we find ourselves in a situation like that, I don't have it myself. I don't have the answers. I can't control other people. I may try to do that. But only God moves in the hearts of kings, does he not? He sets up kingdoms and he brings kingdoms down. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counsels, they are established. See, Daniel knew the importance then of coming together with his companions, making them aware of the circumstances, and then to go ahead and pray and seek out the God of the universe. In verse 19 then, what do we see here? Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And we see the response here. We know that he prayed with his companions. And as James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. See the importance there? Now, when God answers prayer, how do you respond? How do you normally respond when when God answers your prayer in a time like this. See, remember I said, how do you respond in time of adversity? How do you respond in time of prosperity? How do you respond?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lydia. It reminds me of the story of the 10 lepers. Remember that story? 10 helpless human beings who had no hope. You had leprosy, man, you were condemned. You were put in the outside of the camp. You had to stay away from clean people, so to speak. And when you came around them, you had to yell out, unclean, unclean. You were condemned to death, a slow death, a terrible death. And 10 men had this, and they heard Jesus was coming by, and they're yelling out, Jesus, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us. When you think these guys were in a bit of adversity, condemned to death, and Jesus, with his passion, compassion and mercy, healed all 10. Only one came back to thank the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, when you know, and sometimes we just think, well, you know, it was just a little prayer, a little request. I'm telling you, anytime you know in your heart that God has answered prayer for you, you do what this brother did. And that's what we see this whole, look at what he says right here in verse 20. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and prayer. For you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter. What a praise. You ever want to learn how to praise God and thank Him? Go back over to chapter 2 and read that section over and over again. You know what that does? That brings such joy to your God and my God. Because He says, thanksgiving is a sacrifice. And I'm telling you, you know, and this is pretty elementary, and we know this, and I don't mean to say this, but I can't emphasize enough how important it is for us to be thankful people. You didn't do it. Even in our work, people that think, "Boy, I've done great things. Look what I've done." You know, like I told you, I was a tool and die maker, the best tool and die maker we had in the apartment. Man, when he get done with that fixture, to him was a piece of art. And he would make sure, and he would call out, "Look what I did. Look what I made. Look at this." See, that's, we try to take the glory from God. Even in our businesses. I know I've been in situations in work where I had no business being where I was at, but God put me there. And I prayed to God, "Lord, I need you in this meeting. I need you to give me wisdom, no matter what the outcome." But the thing I found more than anything else was knowing that my God was with me and helped me through those circumstances. And I'm telling you, many times, I think there was a reason why he had me working so far away, because I'd drive home at times and tears would just be pouring out of my eyes. Just so thankful that my God was with me. I had no business being where I am. I could tell you testimony after testimony. I had no business to be where I was at, but God had me there. I understand that now. But I used to drive home, and man, tears would just be coming to my eyes. Tears of joy and tears of thankfulness. Well, we need to move on. Verse 24, therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to them, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I'll show the king the interpretation. Now, here's another lesson. We know that these other wise men were enemies of Daniel. I mean, these are the people that came and wiped out my land, my country, wiped out my temple. Wow. Bring me for the king. Well, I'll wait till he wipes these guys out first. See, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We see here that he's acting out what Jesus commanded us, to love our enemies and to pray for them. And we see the petition here. Don't kill these men, for they are going to witness that there's a God in heaven, not some wizard, not some demon. There's a God in heaven, and they're going to see this. And by the way, he goes in Arioch, right? He doesn't go back to the king. He goes, and he's very respectful. See, there's a lot of people in life that you may work for and you don't respect very well because they're not the greatest boss, you understand what I'm saying? A lot of us have had people like that who worked for them. But as a believer in Christ, we have a responsibility. Until God changes that situation, you are to honor and respect them for their position. Not to agree with everything, not to ever fall in sin that they may want to lead you through. But you have a responsibility as believers. And here's another thing. Look at. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. And he says this. I found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. This guy Arioch. I mean, God gave him compassion for Daniel, but he's an unbeliever. And as an unbeliever, man, he wants to make a name for himself. That wasn't true. Daniel sought him out, did he not? He gave him part of the credit to go in before the king. See, he went through the right channels. But Arioch wants to say, I found a man. I want the reward. But you know what? That doesn't bother Daniel at all. Daniel's not concerned. The only thing Daniel's concerned about is that God gets the glory. And we're going to see that happen. Verse 26, then the king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? And I like this about Daniel's answer. He kind of taunts a little bit. Daniel answered to the king and said, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or astrologer can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. You know, the thing that's happened here is, king, you went to the wrong people. Can't your wise men and your enchanters and your magicians, can't they give you this answer? You kind of get a little sense of that. But see, what Daniel was doing was showing the foolishness of trusting in this world and its devices. And it's a lesson for us. What are you trusting in? Sometimes we kind of go through life and trusting in our own abilities. You know, trusting this or trusting our riches or whatever. That's not what Daniel... So he's kind of puts this out, you know. No wise man, enchanter, magician, or scholar can show you the king, the mystery. But I love the buts of the Bible. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Now, we have come to a part of Scripture that... We'll start it off next week. We've run out of time here. But all of this, this whole thing that as you have seen from the notes back there, this whole, we're going to get into his dream. And I'm just going to tell you, he's talking about God has made known to the king, and he's going to make it known to him. You've been, King Nebuchadnezzar, you've been on your bed at night and you can't go to sleep. You're worried about your kingdom, how long it's going to last, who's going to take it over, what's going to happen. But God is going to answer your prayer there, or answer your request here, O King Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to see that he's going to explain to him all of the kingdoms of this world, the Gentile reign, until such time that this rock, which is Jesus Christ, is going to come in the latter days and destroy all of these Gentile kingdoms and set up a mountain that's just going to be spread out through the whole world. And so we're going to talk about that next week, okay? We're going to talk a little bit about the latter days, and then we're going to get more into this dream and talk about what God has planned for the future. And a lot of this, we're going to find out, has already been accomplished. A lot of this is prophecy fulfilled. But it's important for you and I is to understand, if we are in the latter days, what are we to expect? When is that going to happen? Nobody really knows, but we certainly are told what it's going to be like. Amen? So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that what we have learned today, that you are the God of heaven, that you are in control, that whether adversity comes in our lives or prosperity comes in our lives, Lord, you allow that for a purpose. And the main purpose more than anything else, Lord, is that when we respond in these ways, is that we see and we take time, as we learned from Daniel. He took time with his friends. He sought out counsel. He was still, be still and know that I am God. And he cried out to you, knowing your word, and that you had purpose for them. And we see, Lord, how you answered his prayer. And Lord, that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You are the God of Daniel. You're the God of our lives today. And Lord, that you are the one who sets up kings and takes down kings. Lord, you are giving us great hope for the future. Because as we're going to learn these things, Lord, we are going to see more than anything else that our dear Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, oh, Jesus, you're coming back and you're going to set up a forever kingdom. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more sin, no more death. Oh, God, thank you for the wonderful promise you give us. And, Lord, it was your promises that held Daniel to be a man who had purpose in life, and he kept his heart and his mind stayed upon you. He didn't compromise to the left or the right, but his mind and heart was stayed upon you. Lord, I pray that for my church, for our people here, for my own life, Lord, is that I will constantly keep my heart focused on Christ. And we praise you for that. Lord, now we're coming to the next hour of worship. Oh, dear God, we pray that you would be truly honored today, that you would hear from your people praises of thanksgiving, praises of love and worship. We pray that your Holy Spirit would have his way today. In Jesus' name, amen.